I'll Leave You With This with Dustin Chafin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to I'll Leave You With This. This is my podcast where I talk to today's biggest comedians about their lives and stand-up comedy. If you could please support us on the Patreon page, there's a lot of new extras coming out, and everybody from TJ Miller to Dan Soder, all kinds of good comedy extras on that if you want to check us out. Also, you can see me performing live at Magoobies this weekend. I'll be with TJ Miller at Magoobies Live in Maryland, and you can also catch me at Mohegan Sun May 16th and 17th in the Poconos. So please make sure you come out and check me out so I can get some laughy laughs. All right, thank you, everybody. And once again, go to our Patreon page. You're my favorite kind of guest, somebody I know nothing about. Somebody I've probably talked to four times.
Seen around, yeah. Shady pants.
Yeah, well, we all have, like, in comedy, it's like we all have, like, mutual friends, and we're all connected in this weird family way, but a lot of us, you know, different coasts, different clubs, different things going on, so we don't quite hang out a lot.
Yeah, like somebody OD's like, oh, he was a good guy.
Yeah.
OD, damn. I saw we did shows together.
I know. That's how comics get together.
Yeah.
Just something bad happening. Yeah, so did you start in New York, or were you?
No, I started, I'm pretty much LA guy.
Straight LA.
I dabble, but LA is my home, yeah.
Okay, that's where good things happen. It's funny, I got an opportunity to go out there and, like, open something up, and I'm thinking about it, but I'm such a New York guy, so it's, like, such a challenge to think, do I want to go out there? Do I want all this, like, this promise of sunshine and dreams, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely sunshine. I promise you that.
Yeah.
It's nice. The weather's great.
Yeah, I don't know. That's like a cult thing people say to get you out there.
Yeah.
And then you're stuck out there with like four spots a month. Yeah.
Something like that. It's better now, but the weather keeps us there. You can be unsuccessful with good weather. I don't know if people know about this.
It's true. Like, you could, like, hate your life, but you're on a beach. You
exactly. I mean? It's not that bad.
Yeah.
The homeless are happy in L.A.
Exactly. Oh, I imagine. That's hilarious. Now it's like, you know, you love it there, though, right?
Man, as a comic, I live in hotels, dude, at this point. I don't really care anymore.
Oh, so you work on the road a lot. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here like twice a year. I stay for like a month and a half.
Okay, in Manhattan. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty much. I'm Manhattan or wherever. So, I like them all, man.
You know? New York's a hard one to leave, though. I think once comics taste all these spots and like the grind of New York, like.
I think if I'd have started here, you'd probably be right. Like, if I started here.
Yeah,
I'd probably be the same way. But I started in L.A., so I was able to see the good of the comedy scene. That's why I appreciate this.
Yeah.
I can see the grind, you know what I mean?
Yeah, New York's where it's like, you might get like three firehouses a month, but you don't get that residual check.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
So it's like, that's the thing L.A. has.
I've tried to come out here. I've tried to move here three times, but every time I get ready to move, an opportunity in L.A. kind of comes that I kind of can't leave. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I feel like it's the gym. You know what I mean? I'll come back to the gym and get right.
Yeah,
so.
Comedy dojo.
Yeah, comedy dojo, pretty much.
This is where we all get funny.
It's
tempting, though. It's like I got decisions I have to make. I'll be out there in a couple of months. I'm going to be looking around and stuff, just trying to figure some stuff out. But yeah.
You're going to fucking hate it. I know. You're going to hate it. You're a New York guy. I can already see it.
Yeah, I've been out there a few times. And,
nobody goes to L.A. like, oh, I gotta go, man. It's L.A. Nobody does that. You go to L.A., you're like, yo, I'm going to L.A. You're like, I got to go. Four beaches, beautiful women, son. Ugh.
But that's the thing. It's just like, but no, I get it though. I think I have to let loose of a little bit of the stand-up thing, you know?
Yeah.
And just kind of like go on to, you know, greener pastures and bigger things.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what LA has.
LA has that. And it has a better quality of life.
I think so.
You know what I'm saying?
You have a dog, a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Like stuff you just can't have in New York, really.
Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely, you know.
So most comics leave when they get like after their 30s. Then they go, okay, I want to live. I want to actually enjoy my life outside of just hitting five mics a day or whatever, 10-30 shows.
Yeah, L.A. is a good place to grow old, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
You see all those, like, weird old people in L.A.
Yeah.
They seem pretty happy.
They seem pretty happy, man.
Something like 70-year-old in a Speedo.
Yeah, something to do for them.
Flexing around Venice Beach.
It's Hollywood's Florida, you know what I mean?
It's crazy. It's funny, your name comes up a lot because you do a lot of the roast battle things and created a lot of that stuff, and you know, and I'm always on the fence about it. Like I'm one of those dicks. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Why do these guys get Comedy Central? They hadn't paid their dues. Like I'm that guy.
Yeah. No, you have every right to be that guy. You have every right to be that guy.
See some guys at Four Bringer shows, and now he's got a Comedy Central credit. And I'm like, what?
And I'm explaining to you why that is.
Okay, go. Talk to me.
Because the bigger guys don't want to do the show. So bigger guys go, I'm not about to put myself out there and possibly be embarrassed by a comic I've hated for 20 years. Bigger guys, they just kind of toss the show aside. So you gotta put somebody up there. And when we started in L.A., the bigger guys didn't want to do the show. Only it was an open mic that turned into the show.
Sure.
And
we'll explain a little bit. How did it happen?
Well, me and my ex-partner, we were we just kind of he hosted open mic, and I was just like the judge. It was open mic, and I would just come in late. I would do a bunch of spots and come in late at like 12 and go up. And so I would just come in at 11 sometimes, just roast whoever was on stage. Not saying I was a bigger comic. I was a middle-level comic, and they were like open micers. So I would just roast whoever was on stage, and he would host it. And that was the show. It was called the Rail Battle.
Okay.
And then that became a thing, and then comics started having beef, and they started roasting each other, and I would roast them. And then that became like a thing, and then... every night, it grew and grew every Tuesday at the Comedy Store to the point where we couldn't pack any people in there. Celebrities would be downstairs. They would come upstairs, Dave Chappelle, whoever. And then that's when the industry comes.
Yeah.
And then, but the open micers were better than the vets who would come. Because these open micers would only prepare for roast battle.
Yeah.
So that's why you see all these young guys you've never seen.
Sure.
And then got to the point where the veterans were like, I don't want to embarrass myself. So nobody else wanted to do it but the new guys. That's why you see new guys on Comedy Central.
Yeah. No, I'm sure there was a time when, like, you know, vaudeville was happening. And some dude's like, I'm just going to stand here by myself and tell jokes. Like, look at this fucking guy.
Look at this guy.
Ruining vaudeville.
Yeah.
It's all about a pie in the face, not jokes.
Exactly. But we always tell people this doesn't make you a comic. It makes you a good roast battler.
Yeah.
But when you got to go out and do an hour in Poughkeepsie.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you're going to fail.
You can't
just roast the MC. Yeah. Exactly.
Now, I think it's cultural comedy as well. You know, I came up through Ozzy Baez and all those guys did the urban Latino shows over at New York Comedy Club, midnight shows, Seymour Swan, all those guys. And that was a roast vibe, you know. They would always kind of like roast you while you were, you know, if you had a shitty set, forget it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I came up through that stuff. That's how I got stronger, was like those crowds were like, you know, unforgiving, and like they would make you a better comic.
Mm-hmm.
But that vibe of kind of, you know, just kind of playing with each other, sometimes off stage, you know, that kind of thing. Where like the guy's at the mic, but he's still kind of playing with the comic in the room kind of thing.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I don't know. I guess I just feel like I can go, you know, some of those things are just, oh my God, the things people say, you know, it's just to people about their dads and their fucking mom that just died.
You know what's great is that this is a PC time, you know that.
Yeah.
So that's one of the last shows we could talk about somebody's mom with cancer. Like, as mean as it sounds, in that room, nothing's off
true.
Limits.
It is. I'll give it that. I just recently, if you get a chance, I don't know how long you're in town for, but I just saw I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce. It's a really cool one-man show. The guy started in L.A., and it's like a whole thing, you know, he's playing Lenny Bruce, but he's kind of doing a story. But then he goes into the crowd as Lenny Bruce and does, like, stand-up, like Lenny Bruce doing stand-up to this particular crowd.
He's a comedian?
He's an actor, but he pulls it off brilliantly. It's really good.
Wow.
And, but, you know, it's all about censorship, you know, the whole Lenny Bruce. I mean, can you imagine that? Just, you know, going to Rikers over, like, three jokes, you know?
Over saying ass.
Yeah. It's like, cocksuckers, why I got locked up.
Yeah.
That was it. That was the huge thing. And it's really interesting. But, you know, but I do give it that, where you can kind of, like, go hard with the roast battle stuff.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know. You know, I guess I think it's just more of an overwhelming thing, you know, when something's big and new.
It came real hard. And
I
tell a lot of comics, because you're not the only comic who feels this way.
Yeah.
I tell comics all the time, we are the epitome, I think, of what you want. You want kids who said, fuck the system. Oh, can I curse up here? I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who said, fuck the system, who didn't have representation, who didn't have any Hollywood cousin. It was just a show that started. I'm not past at the store.
Okay.
So we couldn't get past at the store. We weren't getting spots there. The room was upstairs. The microphone was open. We started our own thing. So we did it against the system. The store didn't even know about it until it was already in the magazines.
And then
we took control and we kind of came up and built off of it. So it's not like we didn't have a bunch of, you know, they came to us. We didn't have, you know, we built some shit from nothing.
So
I think it's the epitome of a comedy kind of story. You know what I mean?
No, it's brilliant. You know, I think it's how you guys like made that happen.
And then everybody just kind of ran with it. And then New York New York, Philly, Cleveland, everybody just created their own. So that we couldn't foresee.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't see all that happening. Yeah. So that's why I came to New York and created one, because everybody else was creating it. So okay. I didn't make it the phenomenon.
And you do the one here at New York? Is that where you do it?
Yes, we still have one in LA. My ex-partner runs that one. I run the one in New York, yeah.
Okay, all right. That's, no, man, that's cool. I just, and I like roast. I just don't, yeah, I'm just kind of on the fence about it, you know. Yeah. I still feel that it's
100%.
You know, it's kind of one of those art forms. It's definitely hard to write, you know, a good roast joke. And you see, you know, one of my good friends, you know, he passed away a few years ago. Greg Giraldo was
Great Greg Giraldo.
He was such a brilliant roaster.
Best. I think he's so the best. Good. He was the best.
Absolutely.
Joan
on that
Rivers?
Show.
Oh.
Yeah. They were just brilliant.
He was clearly the best.
Yeah. Giraldo was hilarious. Yeah. The stuff he would come up with.
Yeah.
On those things. And this is what I wonder about the roasting thing. It's like, it's just odd when people don't know the two people that are roasting each other. To me, it feels kind of like when you're a fresh audience, and it seems to sort of work. Most of the time, I think roast battles are successful. But sometimes I feel it's so inside, you know, where it's just like it is such a kind of the back comics in the back of the room kind of thing that they're kind of appealing to, because people don't know anything about these people because they're young sometimes. And so that's always odd where it's just like two guys, unless the guy's really fat or something. Like it's kind of, I think it's hard for the audience to like even know what people are talking about sometimes.
I actually like it better when they don't know each other, because that makes you have to go do your homework.
I got
you. Got to do your research. These guys, they go meet, they'll have lunch and tell each other personal stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll meet ex-boyfriends, ex-girlfriends and tell me some stuff about them. Okay. I like when you do the work to find shit that you didn't think they were going to say. Like, you know, you got a little cock and he's like, oh, how did you, like two girls told him that and he knows that to put into the joke. So those surprises are always interesting to me. You know what I mean?
That's a fucking nightmare, man.
When people know each other, relationships break up, dude.
That's a nightmare.
You know what I mean? So you never know what you're going to get.
What you do talking to my ex-girlfriend. Oh,
exactly.
My God. That's hilarious.
Exactly, man.
And so...
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
All right. So, how much stand up did you do before this?
I think I was about roast battle. I was probably 8, 9, 10 years.
Okay,
in.
So you put some time in.
I was working. Okay. I was okay. I was little spots. You know, I was doing features, but you know, I wasn't what I'm doing now. But I was okay. I was in it for a while.
Do you find yourself now that you have all this roast battle stuff under you, like when you're on a regular comedy stage, do you find yourself just kind of tearing the audience apart a little bit?
Not really, man. I never did the show. I was just a creator and judge of it. So I was very specific about not wanting this show to define
roast
me.
Did you roast at all, really?
I roasted. Yeah. But not for the show.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to comment in the back talking shit.
Okay.
But I didn't want to be defined by the show, because the show was more of a competition kind of show for Comedy Central. It's not who I am as a stand-up.
Okay.
It was a fun idea we had that turned into something.
Okay.
So I make specifically, I didn't roast a lot, and I can see myself as the executive producer of it. I'm not the face of it. You know what I mean?
Okay. Did you, like in LA, did you like work the road in LA? Did people do that out
I worked
there?
The road. I used to go on the road with, you know, Joey Medina. He was a New York comic. They moved to LA.
Sounds familiar.
I've done the road for a couple of years and just stand up in LA and travel up in New York.
Because that's what I always wonder. It feels like there's not as much road work unless you're like Brian Scalero or something.
No, the big guys anywhere, any city, whether you're in San Fran, Colorado, the big guys always hit the road. They'll take out a guy, you know.
Sure, sure.
Because California, you can do the road really in California and make good money just all up and down the coast if you want.
Okay.
Because it's so big.
What's your family background? What do you have, brothers and sisters?
Yeah, man. I'm a twin. I got a twin brother.
That's amazing.
Named Terrence.
What's Terrence do?
He's just in real estate in Atlanta, Georgia. And I got two older brothers, my twin and my oldest brother, who's in IT in North Carolina. I got a sister in Houston and my other sister's in Tennessee.
Wow.
So it's five of us. I'm from D.C.
Okay.
Grew up there.
So you guys are the middle?
Like, yeah, I'm number three, exactly.
Number three.
I'm smack. It's two before me, two after me. Okay. Smack in the middle.
That's a weird one.
Smack in the middle.
Yeah,
baby.
The middle kids always go either way.
Yeah.
It could be brilliant or serial killer.
Yeah, pretty much. So I'm waiting to figure out which one I am.
How often do you see your twin?
We talk every day, pretty much.
Oh,
but
you do?
I'm gonna see him
through your head.
Just talk. Well, he's my board. I tell him all my jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he doesn't think I'm funny.
Hilarious.
So he's very honest. Like, this shit is whack. It's like, he doesn't want me to embarrass him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So I give him all my, we talk every day. I got a new bit. I want to try this out, whatever. And then I talk to him every day, but I'm seeing him in 2 weeks, so I see him pretty often, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, that's cool. Did you guys, I'm sure everybody always asks you, did you do hijinks, like twin hijinks at all?
Not really, man.
You know, switching girls or shit like that?
We're more like big brother, little brother. We don't feel like twins.
Okay.
Yeah, because he always took initiative to be the big brother, and I didn't care.
Does he look like you?
Yeah, we're identical.
Identical, oh, yeah. Okay.
So I just sit back like, okay, I don't care.
Is that creepy? Is that creepy sometimes?
Not when you grow up with it, you know what I mean? You know, we've dated girls. We dated the same girl before. Like, we,
oh, yeah,
there was a girl that I was talking to in high school that he ended up dating, like, after he graduated college, like, 6 years later or something. So,
yeah.
So, that's weird.
Well, I saw Us, and that was.
Us is great.
Yeah.
Us is awesome.
Was that, he, I guess, he a would twin
be,
would
my
like
brother
that.
Would probably be the killer. I could tell. He's a little more thorough than me. Don't tell him I said that.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, it's good to have you here, man. This is fun. Yeah, it's like, cool. I always like having, you know, new people. And, you know, it's like, I always feel a podcast is, it's either a way to, you know, catch up with somebody or mm-hmm. get to know somebody.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's, you know, nobody really gets to know each other anymore in a regular way.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's like, hey, man, let's go get a burger. It's like, mm-hmm. no, hey, let's just do a podcast.
Yeah,
let's,
why not?
Let's use the content to further yourself.
Further ourselves by getting to know each other. You're right. Yeah.
That's bullshit. Well, you know, and, you know, it's a school. It's cool to have you. Good to have different people. Oh, so, Rail Battle in the building, everybody.
Hey.
Our big studio here today.
Like, yeah. Who is that?
Yeah. Is that your Christian name?
Yeah. Pretty much. Pretty much. That's what was given to me. Last name.
You
was,
earned that name.
Last name was just given to us by slavery.
Oh, shit. Right? It's really yeah. rough. How are you dealing with things like that are happening, like, you know, with the world and stuff and, like, just man, political think, stuff and all?
Dog, I thank God we're comedians, man. Because yeah. we can go talk about it. The great thing about comedy, I can go and give you my opinion and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
But walk out, or you can heckle and get ate up, or you can just sit there and deal with it. It's the most selfish profession that I love, that I just get to say what I want. I get to rant.
Oh, yeah.
And I just have to be funny.
Yeah, and you seem like you're friends with everybody.
I'm cool with most people, yeah.
Yeah.
People don't like a couple people, but I'm cool.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, we all have that.
You know, I'm on my business.
We all have a few.
We all got a few people we can't stand.
Yeah. You know. Done us wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but just in general, like, friend black, white, like, friends, like, mm-hmm. seems like you're pretty open.
Yeah, and comedy, you know, funny is all that really matters.
Yeah, and it forces you, too, to be around different people you wouldn't maybe never be around, you know?
Exactly.
That's what I love about it.
Exactly, yeah, definitely. It brings all the misfit toys together.
It really does.
We are.
Yeah, we're all guys that were a little off.
Yeah, we get a little tag. Who want to do this shit, you know?
I wonder sometimes. Do you ever think, like, what else you would do?
You know what? It's funny. My brother and I were speaking today, and he was like, what would you have ever done? And I just can't think of what I don't know what I was already writing.
Yeah.
So comedy is writing. So I don't know what I would have. I'm not saying it because I love comedy so much. I'm saying because I do not know what else I would have freaking done. You know, I moved to LA. I was going to either do this or die. That's it. You know, I'm not trying to be like an artist. Just like this is it. This is my life now.
Yeah.
Good or bad.
Yeah, I just had to be an artist. I didn't know what kind it was.
Yeah.
You know, I came from art school, different stuff. Like, yeah. I thought I was. I don't know. Like, either I was going to be like a fine arts painter, you know,
one
of those gallery guys. I do.
I
did it a little more than I do now. But
yeah.
And then fashion was a thing. I thought I was going to be like, you know, fucking Karl Lagerfeld, like a ponytail and models.
The next Ed Hardy.
Yeah. I did. That seems like a good life.
Yeah,
you know?
It's pretty fun.
Yeah. I don't know. And then, you know, stand ups, I stumbled into it.
Yeah.
I never thought I would do this.
That's how it happens.
It's such a weird thing because I'm still shy as a person and stuff. Like, I'm not comfortable ever, really.
Yeah.
And then you grab the mic, and then the light's right, and the audience is ready, and it just somehow works.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, you're 10 years in or plus, and you're like, what?
We have the dumbest job in the world. It's a really dumb job.
It's a racket.
It's a dumb, fun, stupid job.
It's a racket sometimes.
It's a racket. It's crazy.
We're like grifters.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird. Even at the highest levels of a Chris Rock or a Louis, these guys just travel the country, stop in the cities every night, lonely.
Yeah.
These grown men with families. It's just like just a weird, lonely, awkward profession.
I love that. I think it's because I've been in a relationship for 13 years, but I love my girl's a comic too, Leah, you know her. And I feel like
okay.
And that's you know, it helps our relationship that we don't see each other all the time.
Yes. When I'm in a relationship, it does, because if I'm gone for 2 months, it's like she misses me.
Yeah, you come back and it's exciting
it's all
again.
Love. And then if I'm ready to go. All right, I'll book a date. I got to go to Minnesota. I got to go for the weekend.
Oh, yeah. She's on her period. I can't deal with this. Yeah, get her 2 weeks.
I got out of
here.
I got to go. I'll be back in 5 to 7 days. 100%.
Yeah. Did you ever date a comic?
Yes, I did. I dated a comic years ago.
And how'd that work out?
Luckily, she moved, so it just kind of fell off.
Yeah. How was the dating comic? I think it's not for everybody.
I loved it because it was like... you know, she understood, you know, we got our relationship is between sometimes 10 to 3. So you got, there ain't much talking going on. You know what I'm saying? So it was understandable. Oh, I got to cancel on this date. I got to do a spot. Okay. Like they understand.
Yeah. They understand the world.
But they also, you're crazy is her crazy. You guys have the same type of crazy. Then it becomes competitive and then they go, how'd you get that spot? And then it becomes a thing where it's like, I don't want to work on jokes. We're having intercourse right now. You know what I mean? So it became a thing where it became too much.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's definitely one of those things where it's just like...
How do you guys do it?
I mean, you know what? We don't like... Like, you see a lot of comedy couples and they kind of like advertise themselves as couples.
Yeah.
You know? And some guys... can do it, and they can do it well, like Bonnie and Rich and guys
that.
You know, and it's become part of their shtick, is that they're together.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't even know Lee and I are dating.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay. So I didn't know. So
I think it's kind of those things where it's like we keep it really professional.
Okay.
I don't hang on her at a club. Like, I let her just be a comic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And we don't work together as much as we used to.
Okay.
Because I want her to do her own thing.
Okay.
Nobody wants to be in anybody's shadow. Just let them do their, you know. I think that's part of it is we're very separate. I mean, I made a lot of bad mistakes, you know. Like, I'd slap her ass on stage one time drunk. You know, stupid stuff. Thinking, just forgetting that she's not, you know, when I'm in that environment.
She has to be seen as a...
Yeah. Just so I got in a lot of trouble.
I bet you did. You know? And he's like, I don't understand. Like, what do you mean? I slap your ass all the time.
You're my girl.
You're my lady. Something you want to tell me?
I think that was a defining moment. Like,
yeah.
I was like, okay, I guess I just separated this shit.
100%.
And maybe put the bottle down.
100%.
But, and that's a lot of it, too. Me doing work on myself and all that shit. You know, how long have you been with your girl now?
Not really a thing, man. Just,
oh, okay. Floating around?
I'm just in and out, baby.
All right, cool.
I'm chilling.
All right, hope she's not listening.
I always have it's always somebody special.
Yeah. Nice. I don't know. I mean, comedy is definitely one of those things where it's like, you know, you look back and it's like, it goes quick. Like how many years you've been doing it and stuff like that. And then it's like the only job in the world. Like we're in this studio right now. If we walk out the door, it's like all these like cubicle type jobs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I can't do anything like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can't do anything that's confining me to like corporate.
I'm going to get fired for writing jokes.
Yeah.
My brain's going to go somewhere else.
Yeah. I worked in the mailroom. I'd get in trouble for like, you know, stealing magazines.
Yeah.
You know, different stuff. You know, trying to just see what else was out there.
Yeah, of course.
Very nice.
Of course.
So you've done some cool acting stuff, which is great. That's the thing about LA, you know. I think there's just like there's so much cool production happening.
Yeah,
you know.
I get bored, man.
You did a Superior Donuts.
I did. It was on CBS.
CBS.
I canceled last year, but
it's okay.
It was a good run.
You did it.
Give me a second.
Everything gets canceled.
Give me a second.
Everything gets canceled. Crashing. I was like starting to be on that, and then it gets canceled.
Oh, yeah, canceled Crashing. Yeah,
yeah, it's right, everything. Right. You know.
They got 3 seasons though, right? Didn't they?
Yeah, what'd you guys get?
We got 2.
You guys was great. That was a great show.
We had fun. We had a good time.
No, I'm serious. It was a good show.
We had a great time. Met great people. I can't complain. Yeah. I got a nice little check.
Yeah.
You know, on to the next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good show. I thought it was like, you know, acted well and written well. It's a lot of good comics too.
Yeah. We had Maz, David Koechner, Jermaine.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Yeah, we had some fun. Yeah,
I love Jermaine Fowler. His story. You're tight with him, right?
He's my guy.
His story is hilarious because I love his story so much because he had some opportunities in New York and like clubs and stuff that kind of like blew him off and like, you know, kind of treat him wrong. And then I love it when I see a guy just kind of turn it and just like, okay, I'll show you.
Yeah.
You know, when people discount you and then you turn it around and then just start to make things happen. It's always such a beautiful thing in this business because people, you know, people treat you like shit when they don't need to and they, you know, throw you away and stuff. And I saw some of that happen and he just turned it around and really kind of like picked it up, man. And
he's
really
good,
made some great
good,
things happen.
Good dude, man.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's probably rare too, you know, when people are good people.
Yeah,
in this business.
Good guy, really good guy.
Yeah, he's good. And, yeah, so, you know, I think that's, you know, that's an opportunity, you know, in L.A. that you may not get as much of in New York, you know.
Yeah, man. I never was a comic who was like, I only want to do comedy. College comics do that, like, especially in New York. Like, I'm only going to do comedy. Like, that's great. Good for you. But I love to entertain. I love presenting my writing to television or to film or I like to act. I like to be funny on camera. Like, I enjoy it all equally.
What other acting have you done?
I did some dramas. I was on A Good Doctor last year.
Oh, cool.
I did that for a little while. It was amazing, man. It was a different muscle. It was a drama, like a procedure.
Yeah, what'd you play? What kind of character?
I was just a dude that was going to die.
That's awesome.
The autistic doctor had to save me. I played a guy named Pete.
Okay.
And for two episodes. And but that was fun, man. Just a different, it's a different creative muscle. Like I tell people all the time, I'm a creative, I'm an artist. Stand-up is my bread and butter.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I enjoy acting as well. I enjoy being in a writer's room and just writing for somebody else. Sure. I enjoy it all, man. So
yeah, that's cool. That guy's a good actor. The lead in that.
Oh, he's a beast. He's a beast.
That guy's good. Yeah, I used to like that other show he did with the Bateman Hotel thing.
Bates Hotel. Yeah,
Bates Hotel. Yeah, that was good. Great. But that's the thing. I think you know a lot of times like you know people think you know comedians aren't good actors. I think it's just you know a lot of times it's like they aren't given enough opportunities to do it, but I think comics have that in us. Mm-hmm. You know, we have all these depths inside of us.
Yeah.
You know, because we're always on stage taking risks and things like that. And I think in written character, that's, you know, that's places you have to go, dark places, stuff like that. We do that in our stand-up. And some, you know, who would have thought, you know, Jamie Foxx would have been such a great actor. Mm-hmm. Guys like that are just, because you see their work before something like that's a serious, and you're just like, wow.
Like how to adapt, because usually we write our own stuff. So it's how to adapt these characters to somebody else's work without judging it, without trying to figure out how to write it better. Or that's the hard part comics always have. Like, how can I make this me? Because it's somebody else's words. We're used to saying our own words. So once we figure that out, we're usually pretty much in a good space.
Well, Richard Pryor was such a good actor, man.
Oh, my gosh. Lady Sings the Blues. People sleep on Richard, man.
They really
people
do.
People sleep on how good Richard was, dog.
Yeah,
you know?
He was great.
I remember Eddie was talking about how, you know, it takes just as much talent actor to create, it takes more to create five characters in the clumps, even if it's a stupid movie, than Pacino, you know, Pacino, De Niro doing one character.
Yeah,
you got to create five, six different characters. So comedically, that's just as hard. What Jim Carrey does is incredible level of acting. He has to encompass to create play these characters. So we just don't get the credit for it, man, because they're funny.
Yeah,
they elicit a laugh instead of a cry, a tear, or whatever. So
yeah, I think it's you know. It's definitely, you know, it's a different, like you said, different muscle, but I think it's like, you know, comics and like Jim Carrey's great, you know, he's just, his stuff's so good.
Yeah.
The Andy Kaufman thing was great.
Yeah, amazing.
I love that show.
Amazing.
That movie. Well, that guy was great too. What are some comedians that kind of inspired you to even do stand-up comedy?
Oh man, it was a lot, dude. I was, Eddie was everything. I mean, that's such a hacky stereotypical person to say, but he's Jordan to me.
He is great.
You know, Mitch Hedberg was heavy on early on. You know, the great Chris Rock, you know, I was into Wanda Sykes really early. Jack Tripper, man. Jack Tripper was everything. He was the funniest guy to me.
Oh, Three's Company?
Three's Company. Okay. The old reruns used to come on, man. His timing was great, you know. We had bad cable where you can, like, sneak your neighbor's cable. So we would get all these old 50s, 30s, 40s, 50s, like, you know, 40s and 50s video stuff.
Yeah.
So we used to watch Jack Benny forever.
Yeah, yeah.
And my dad was in the Red Skelton. So early on, I had all these weird vaudeville guys. You know, everybody else was like, the Wayans brothers. I'm like, yeah. But have you heard of Shecky Green? You know what I'm saying? So,
that's great.
Early on, I was familiar with those guys.
Yeah, Red Skelton. I've never seen that shit. Like, because my grandfather, he had HBO before a lot of people did, and so it was like a weird. That was always on HBO in the early days. They only had like 9 programs.
Yeah,
and then like just movies. But Red Skelton. Yeah, any of that kind of stuff is great.
Mm-hmm.
Anything's different. Like like Buster Keaton. Anything.
Great Buster Keaton.
Yeah, I like watching all that stuff.
Yeah.
Who do you like now, as far as you know, like young guys coming up, stand-ups?
That they would know of.
It doesn't matter. Just guys you like to watch, young guys.
Well, I like, man. I love watching Petey. Petey's great.
Petey Diabro. That's my guy.
I love Petey. He makes me laugh so much, man. Yeah,
he's funny.
There's a kid. This kid's out in L.A. Kid named Jamar Neighbors. My buddy Robbie Slovic. I think it's stupid, hilarious.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend Casey Balsham. They like.
Yeah.
Both of them are really funny, man. I love Berg. Love watching Berg, Aaron.
Yeah.
In New York. There's a lot of guys out here, man. Doing
Aaron's funny. It's like he's definitely a roaster.
He's a roaster. Yeah,
he's a guy. He's the last guy I want to follow in a comedy club.
Yeah,
like I've had just horrible sets after him because the audience, you know, they just get used to this thing. It's this freaking tornado that's happening.
And you're not hitting that.
It's like he's. I'd rather follow Bill Burr than him because I feel like. It's just a different thing that I can't. If you don't have the energy to match it, then you know, it's really hard.
It's gonna be tough. Yeah,
yeah. So. And he don't give a fuck about nothing. He's so funny. He doesn't care. Like he'll just kind of like say whatever. Talk about uncensorship.
He doesn't care.
Uncensored. Like he'll just do whatever he wants.
Yeah, and he has a voice that you can come off. You know, he's just playing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes audiences don't. I've seen it turn.
You've seen it turn?
I've seen it turn. People get angry.
They get uncomfortable, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a few times. Not all the time. But there's I had a guy here last week, Steve Marshall. He's a guy that kind of like goes after the crowd.
Okay.
And it's all race and stuff, and he's Jewish, so you know, it's another thing too. I also feel you know, if you're Jewish, you've earned the right.
You can say
some shit.
Certain people if your community was massacred.
Native Americans.
Blacks, Native Americans, and Jews can talk about whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And some
women. So,
I like how it's some women. Yeah.
Some women. Some women.
Not all women.
Latin women, you know.
Yeah. If you're pretty, not so much. But if you're ugly woman, you can say
ugly girls can talk about whatever they want.
Because they got it rough.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. So what are you doing now? What kind of projects are you
working on? I am on tour. I go on tour. I usually come to New York to kind of get my hour together. And then that's why I appreciate the spots you got me at Greenwich. And then I get them together for like 2 weeks here. And I go to Atlanta for like a week. I'm performing. And then I go on tour. I'm traveling for like the next 2 months.
Okay. Are you like a tour with other guys?
No, just me. I'm doing a couple of clubs. Doing a lot of House of Comedies in Edmonton. Alberta. I'm doing Minnesota, I'm doing Arizona, San Diego. So I'm just hitting different cities for next.
Do you have an album or
no, man? I'm just a guy that just goes out and does stand up. I don't have an album yet. I'm really lazy about that stuff. I'm like really lazy about that. Yeah. I just go on the road and work out. I'm not really a road comic. Like I don't really love the road.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. To me, it's like it's the traveling you have to do for the job.
Yeah.
I'm not a guy who wants to be out there 50 weekends a year.
Well, that's all it is travel. Yeah, it's 80% travel and 20% stand-up.
Yeah.
Like it's definitely a grind out there. Yeah. So how do you start your hour? Like, because I feel like an hour is so hard to do, man. Mm-hmm. It's like one of those things that, like, you have to kind of find your pace in the hour, you know? Yeah. Like, do you play with the crowd a little bit?
It depends where I'm at, man. If I feel like they're tight. Yeah, I'll play with the crowd a little bit. If they're ready, if the feature guy, they're ready to go, we'll go right in.
Okay.
I never was one of those comics, just go right to the jokes. I never believe that. I did a lot of black rooms. So, and I know if you've done black rooms, sometimes they don't give a fuck what you got to say. Who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
So all that comedy rules, you know, you just go right to the comedy. You don't say hello. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Some crowds sitting there eating chicken, looking at you. No. So I like to work with the crowd. It depends on how the crowd is, man. And then
What's some of the? Do you have any hell gig stories? Like any crazy
hell gig stories, man? Yeah. I did a show in L.A. at the Comedy Store, and it was a gong show, and I shouldn't have did it, but I did it because I was just trying to. This is what I was early on. I was just trying to get up.
Yeah.
And I go up, and my energy is keeping them from not booing me. The jokes aren't working, but my energy is keeping them from not booing me. And I do a bit. It didn't hit, and then somebody goes, "Next comedian," and I look over. It's the bouncer of the club.
Oh,
like,
no.
He was heckling.
Oh, no.
That's how you know that's your ass. And then they came up and they gonged me, and I left. It was bad. It's embarrassing. Never been booed, but I've been booed, but I've been gonged.
Booed? I've been booed, man.
You been booed, man?
Oh, yeah. 3,000 people.
Because they were mad at you because they just didn't like your shit.
Well, you're not going to like what they booed at. But, I got booed 3,000 people.
Jesus.
It was like, I've said this story a few times on the air, but it was a joke I used to do.
Yeah.
My grandfather was Choctaw, Native American, born and lived his whole life on a reservation.
Yeah.
Like legit. And I'm not like one of these, you know, white, you know, hey, I'm Native American.
Let's be horns.
Because I took a test, you know, like I have a card and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a light skinned Native American, I call it.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. That makes sense.
Yeah, this color is from oppression.
Oppression
and,
color.
And genocide. Genocide. And, So I do this joke where, you know, I think it was really much being fed up with no representation, you know, the Native Americans having no representation in the communities.
Yeah.
You know, where people just still have the image on a football helmet.
Mm-hmm.
There's no national holiday. Mm-hmm. There's no, it's just nothing. Like, nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just, the joke was, you know, it, you know, people, at least black people got to travel.
Yeah.
And it was a thing. And this,
that's funny. That's kind of funny.
So everybody went crazy. And it was like one of those things where.
Oh, you at the
like,
Apollo? What'd you do this joke at?
Well, it was like a MIT. It was like a bunch of elite.
You know,
African American studies kind of
thing. Oh, and so God, it was like, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like, but what was funny about it is I did it on Showtime, White Boys in the Hood, and it killed. But in this environment, it was like, you know, they just
didn't
have it.
The hood could take a joke.
Yeah, exactly.
And it leads to be like, yeah, maybe that's what it was.
But whatever. I mean, that's, you know, that's just what it, that was just a sensitivity issue.
I didn't take it.
But that was what's funny about it. That's the thing about comedy. It's like, I have that horrible experience, yet I use it on television. So it's like, you know.
Yeah, and you got to go right back out the next day and do comedy some more.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like boxing, man. I was at the boxing match the other night at the Garden, and it's like comedy's so much like fighting, like boxing. Like you're just, you know, you work out every couple of months, and then you have your fight, and then you get up there, and it's like you don't know what you're gonna be dealt, and like you know you got to bob and weave, you got to like throw in some jokes, you got to throw in some crowd work, you got to close strong, you know, like the whole thing, the rhythm in there is very similar to boxing.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You never know what you're gonna get coming from all angles.
Yeah.
Stamina, yeah, you're right.
Probably going to cry at some point.
Probably.
But no, it's, you know, I think it's what we are, you know. We're stand-ups and roast battlers and podcasters and
it's
actors.
It's what
and,
we do.
Yeah, there's really, I mean, you know, what are, you know, like I said, you know, I don't know what I'd do except this, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I would, but... Did you work before stand up? Did you do anything like jobs?
No, I was in college, man. I was in school, and then
where'd you go to college?
I went to the University of Maryland.
Okay.
And then I got like a little quick little summer job after I graduated, and then I left. So I probably stayed 6 months after college and then left.
Okay.
And then and I worked jobs as a trying to become a stand up.
What kind of jobs?
Oh man, everything.
What'd you do?
I got fired from Cheesecake Factory after 6 weeks. And I got fired from Gordon Biersch.
That's a hell of a menu, man. Do you have to memorize it?
Oh, yeah, you do. But it's so good, you do. Like, I have no problem with cheese. I would sponsor Cheesecake. If they let me, the food was so good.
That food is pretty good.
Worked there for 6 weeks. 6 weeks, got fired. Worked at Gordon Biersch, a restaurant in L.A. 6 weeks later, got fired from that.
Yeah.
Went to work for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Four weeks later, got fired from that.
Wow.
And I got fired every single time because I got caught writing jokes because I just started stand-up.
Hilarious.
So I was like, let me just focus on this. So.
I love how it's writing jokes. It's not smoking weed.
No,
it's not
I don't
like,
smoke, yeah.
It's not like playing around with chicks. It's just like, yeah. Just
yeah, I don't smoke.
Writing punchlines.
Exactly.
In a fucking Kia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's hilarious. I don't know. I think getting fired is sometimes a good thing, I guess. You know, it's like, I think, it seems like now in L.A., it's like, because of Uber and Lyft, like, somebody can go out to
L.A. Oh, yeah, comics are making money, man.
Yeah.
Because that really helped out the comedy community specifically.
It really did. It's like, it helps, like, to be a comic, you could just drive a car, set your own hours.
Yeah.
You know.
Right in traffic, and then, it's perfect for comics. A lot of comics I know do it.
Yeah, I think it's a definitely thing.
Yeah.
All right, man. So, what do you want to plug? Anything cool? What's you got a podcast yourself? What's going on?
I'll be in a Laughing Skull in Atlanta, May 9th. Okay. I'll be on tour. Look for me in Rail Battle. Everything: Instagram, IG, Facebook, Twitter. RELLBATTLE.
That's awesome, man. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having
me,
brother.
It's very cool. Just to get to know other comedians and people. If you guys can follow us on Twitter at Leave You With This and our Facebook page. And all that good stuff. And if you're interested in stand-up comedy, I do Outlaw Comedy Coaching. Catch me on Facebook as well. Thank you for listening to I'll Leave You With This.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.